basketball, Jones. Got a basketball, Jones. Got a basketball, Jones.
And a basket here. This place goes crazy.
And
one.
This game comes down to fundamentals.
Oh, my goodness. Sorrentine hit that one from the parking lot.
All right, everyone, welcome to episode 11 of Storm the Court podcast. Barstool Reeks here, joined with a special guest all the way back from Europe, back in the United States. We're joined with Charlie, back to officially Charlie Wisco, I believe.
Yep, back from Charlie Barcelona, even though I wasn't in Barcelona, but Kevin gave me that name, and now I'm back to being Charlie Wisco again.
It has to end in a vow. You couldn't be Charlie London.
Charlie London sounds like a punk rocker who hear those weird stories about like doing cocaine and like eating cats type thing. So yeah, like you can't.
You sound like the lead singer for Good Charlotte.
100%. Yeah, Charlie London is a huge Good Charlotte fan.
Absolutely. So thanks for hopping on, Charlie. Obviously, you can check Charlie out on mostly Barstool New York, and you can follow him at Charlie Wisco. Correct? No underscore.
Correct. Yep.
So you know, give him a follow if you haven't already. But we're going to jump right into it. You know, Charlie is our college guy, basically just because he's still in college. Obviously, still at Wisconsin. And we're here to talk college basketball. So, Charlie, obviously, everyone's talking about that Oklahoma-Kansas game from last night. We're recording here Tuesday at about 6:30. And it was the game of the year. You know, I was kind of.
There's no way that'll be topped, right?
We can. No.
That will be the game of the year, at least for the regular season.
I can't remember the last regular season game like that. A lot of people, kind of in the know, have been saying it was the best basketball game, college basketball game, since Kentucky Wichita State in the round of 32 a couple years ago.
Check in an airport. I remember with a Kentucky alum.
Yeah. And that was just more in terms of, you know, the competitiveness, what you saw on the court. There was never, you know, it wasn't like one team gave it away. It was one team just simply won it. You know, you kind of see that every once in a while.
Oh, no shame in a loss like that.
No, absolutely not. And that's like the first time I felt that since that Kentucky-Wichita State game. So, yeah, that game's not getting topped. It'll be hard to top it in the tournament as well.
What I found interesting about that game is, like, I know college basketball, if you're listening to this podcast, you obviously love college basketball, but as you know, and I'm sure you deal with, you know, a lot of obnoxious shit of people, like, kind of who hate college basketball, and it'll be like, you know, the NBA, like, is so much better, why would anybody watch this? But, like, when you watch a game like Oklahoma, Tech, Kansas, and, like, the student section is going crazy, like, you know, the Fog Allen with, like, all the history that core has is electric. The mascots, the cheerleaders, like the players are just giving it their all. I was just watching, like, who doesn't love this? You know what I mean? Like, how could you not watch this and be like, this is the greatest? I mean, also, my number one thing, the performance of Brent Musburger last night.
Phenomenal.
I put on Twitter, when he retires, he has to be, like, I've never given this a conscious thought, but, like, he has to be my favorite sports announcer of all time. I mean, like, not only, like,
he's
the funny thing is, he's up there, but like not only him, like basically show as Big Cat put on Twitter, showing us his betting slips during the game and talking about the over unders and the point spreads and saying like my friends in the desert, but like just the fucking drama of his voice that he brung to it and like how excited he got. I was enthralled with the game last night.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned kind of the big thing is when does Brent reveal what side he's on, and it's a running thing on Twitter, and I picked up on it pretty early yesterday. They went to commercial break. I believe it was at the under 16 or under 12 in the first half. And it was a close game at the time. It was like a 4-point game. And Brent goes, you know, let's hope it's close this way the rest of the game. And immediately I was like, he's on Oklahoma.
Yeah, like he has. Yeah.
Immediately.
He needs to keep it in the points. Yeah.
Right. Like, it's a little subtle thing. It's like, he knows it's a game. Like, there's no way Musburger's on
100%.
Twitter. But he knows, like, Twitter is sitting there going, all right, what's Musburger on? And the moment it's revealed, it just explodes. And it's fantastic.
He's like the gambler version of like the way Pixar movies like hide in like and put in like adult like references and double entendres to like keep the parents interested while they bring their kids to kids movies. Exactly. He's like that for gamblers, where like he'll just make a little comment that most people wouldn't think of, but like if you know point spreads or anything, you'll be like, oh shit, Brent needs the Sooners to keep this within the points for the rest of the way. Right.
And I know a lot of people. I know I'll catch shit for this, and I know a lot of people aren't gonna agree. Dickie V being on that call with him was perfect. Those were the two that should have been.
I love Dickie V. No, I'm so glad to hear you say that. I'm a huge Dickie. Dickie V, like, is everyone's like, oh, he still gets, you know, he might get a name wrong. He might not be the most knowledgeable guy. I know that there are up and coming announcers who know more than him, but like, he like is college basketball. Like, he just brings like, excitement. He brings drama. He brings like, who the fuck cares? That, like, do you really need to know what high school the small forward went to? Like, if you're a big enough fan that you care about that, you already know anyway. So like, I just want Dickie V in there, like losing his mind, like, you know, saying it's awesome, like saying baby 45 times in like 1 minute in the final seconds of the game. I loved it.
Nobody enjoyed that game more than Dick Vitale.
Yeah,
and that's why he deserved to be there.
Consequence of hearing him like it more, because he's just old and senile enough where him being happy is like a child's laughter. Like, you're like, oh, that's so sweet how excited he is. Like,
so I got to meet him once when I was covering Kentucky, and it was during the 24-hour tip-off. I was at North Carolina covering the team, and I had to run back to the media room to grab something and go back out to where my seat was, and it was just me and him. And he just stopped there and talked for, like, a good 7 minutes before the game. About college basketball. Like, he was so – he's the nicest guy in the world. I mean, first off, he just wanted to know where I was from. We talked about, like, New Jersey for a minute and a half. And then he just talked to me about college basketball.
Yeah. And just something, like, he doesn't have to do.
Right. You know? And this was him, like, getting ready to call a game between Kentucky and North Carolina. I was like – I almost wasn't want to be like, dude, like, you got to get out of here. Like, you have to be on TV. I don't.
Yeah. Like, you have – like a responsibility to millions of people right now.
Right, right. Like, if I missed my deadline, a couple people are pissed off. If you're not on TV, the nation's going to be pissed off.
this will affect thousands of ESPN jobs if you're not there. Like, that's a very good point.
So, but I do enjoy Dick Vitale too as well. So,
who are you rooting for last night? I didn't care. I just want to see a good game, which is fair to say I got.
I wanted Oklahoma. I mean, I wanted a good game. It was, you know,
you've been
tuning
the Oklahoma horn pretty. You were early on them because I remember.
You
put in your preseason blog that you expected something from them, and I was like, Oklahoma. I
had them in always in my top. I think I had them about seventh to start the season, and I put them up to number one. Pretty much when Kentucky lost. No, I put them. I may have put them up to one when Kentucky lost.
I saw you catch a lot of shit for that.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't their team.
Right.
No, I'm a big fan of Oklahoma. I wanted a close game as well because I mentioned this yesterday in my blog. It was college basketball's first night. You had no football to compete with. You know, obviously you had The Bachelor, but that was over at, at 10 o'clock. So there's just no other sports to compete with
that
they typically have to go up against. And you had the number one versus number two, so it needed to prove, hey, look, we actually have something on our hands here. And you had the guy who I think is the National Player of the Year so far, just, as I said today, be the first player since Jimmer Fredette to make a nation turn into a game. And kind of the same feeling of Jimmer Mania, where it's like you're shocked when a shot doesn't go through the hoop.
Right.
So you had that. You obviously had triple overtime. You had a huge name in Kansas at Fog Allen, which I think is the best arena in college basketball.
I would go even further and say that you can make a strong argument that's the best arena in sports.
Yeah, that's probably true. So you had all that, and it was just a perfect storm. So, yeah, I wanted Oklahoma to win just because I had them number one. I gave out Oklahoma plus 6.5 in the blog yesterday, so I wanted to be right as well. More than anything else. But, yeah, more like you, I just want to be entertained in a close game.
Right. Well, we certainly had that. Are you at the point where I was when I did the college football thing where if you put the pick in the blog and you bet it, you more want to be right in the blog than you actually care about the money? Like, being right is better than the money as soon as you start publicly giving these picks and people right. are giving shit for them.
Right. So I love being able to sit there and be like I said today, I was like, I figured out my record. I'm hitting 62% on picks on Barstool blogs. And it's like, no matter what you say to me, I would love to see you go 62% and then let's talk.
Chief had an unreal quote about it where he said, I hate to say I told you so, just kidding. Saying I told you so is the entire reason I blog. Like, it's like,
it really is. Like,
it's why you do it.
I just want to be right. It's like, it's almost like Scott Van Pelt used to talk about all the time when people would bitch about him about giving out winners and he'd go, you know, like 2 for 5 one week, but he'd still be at 60%. He goes, if you follow me all season, you're still making money. Like, I'm giving you 60%, which is a phenomenal number. So yeah, I like you said, I just want to be right. That's more important to me than really anything else.
it's sad lives we lead.
It is. It is. It was funny, you know, back in.
If anybody wants to get inside the mind of somebody who dedicates their time to writing, who thinks their opinions are so important, they need to be put on a blog, be read for thousands and millions of people. Like, this is how fucked up you're. Like, this is as honest as it gets. This is what it takes.
You have to want to be right all the time, and you have to have the mindset, do I need to do this for the blog? Which was absolutely hilarious when I was at Yuppie Junk Live and we were talking about that, and it's just kind of like, oh, I was thinking about that, and the first thing that came to mind was, I need to film this.
Yeah, you have to be willing to like kind of ruin your life and piss off everyone else around you,
right?
Like for the sake of like a really good like tweet or a good vine.
Yeah, like my girlfriend has just given up rolling her eyes and staring at me with a blank look. She just is she's used to it in the short term. I've been around this just wild living. World.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so we obviously talked about that game last night. Now, you have the pleasure of being at a well-known basketball school, especially the last 2 years, two seasons heading into this one, where you have been spoiled beyond belief by going to 2 Final Fours already. So you talked about what it's like, you know, how nothing's like college sports from a fan standpoint. K. Marco blogged today about the game and said how he would give his left nut to experience something like that, you know, as a fan. It's a true fan just once.
Right.
What's your one game at Wisconsin that sticks out where you know, 20 years down the road, you'll sit there and be like, hey, I was at that game. I remember exactly what it was like.
It's a little bittersweet for me because the number one – so there. Can I give 3 answers and I'll just give a short one for them?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the best game I went to in person was a Wisconsin loss, but it was the high stake where I went to Duke, Wisconsin last year in the beginning, you had, at that point, Duke was the number 2 team in the country behind Kentucky, I believe, and Wisconsin I think was Wisconsin like was, what?
Wisconsin was like 4 in that game,
4
I think.
5, yeah, yeah, I think 4. I think it was 4 in AP, 5 in coaches. I think Wisconsin was favored by like 1.5. But by the time game time, it was like down to a pick 'em. Obviously, they were playing behind for most of the game. Duke won. I don't want to talk about the other game with Duke that season, but there was it was a phenomenal. Tyus Jones went off for. I just remember he was. I thought for sure. I was like, oh, he's going to be a star that season.
That was like his coming out party too.
That was like his coming out party. But I will say, I thought he was going to. He had a good year, but I thought he was going to have like. Like, I thought he would be – I was like, oh, he's better than I can't believe.
You thought he'd be like Justice Winslow. Like, he'd be the number 2 guy behind Okafor.
Yeah, I thought he'd be the number 2 guy behind Okafor. Seeing Okafor on in person was obviously unbelievable. I mean, you just saw the way he moved. Like, and obviously you had future NBA play. Like, you had, I think, 6 guys who are in the NBA now in that game because you have Frank and Sam for us.
Yep.
You had Okafor. Winslow. Justice Winslow.
Jones and Quinn Cook floats up and down between the D League and the rosters.
Yeah, so you have 6 NBA players, but even the way you saw the way Okafor could move, like it was just different. You know what I mean? Like you couldn't even describe it or put words to it, but everybody who saw it knew when they saw it. Like just kind of the way he operated in the paint was on such a different level in terms of his athleticism. So that was definitely the coolest game I've seen in person, even if it was ultimately disappointing because it was a loss. And I was watching it with, or not, I watched it with my friends, but then immediately after, I went to my buddy's apartment, and his dad came up, who I met for the first time. His dad, who was a Duke Law graduate, who was just rubbing it in all our faces. And so that was fucking brutal.
I don't know your friend's dad, but I'm going to venture to say he's probably one of the worst people in the world.
Yeah.
Talk to as a Duke Law guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was you know, it was awful. Like, it was just awful. And then, of course, Duke Law, he has to talk about
exactly
how Coach K does it the right way and with the right academics. And that's, like, the number one argument. Like, I'm not as – yes, I am. I am a Duke hater. I'm not even going to qualify as playing. I'm a Duke hater, but let me just say this. Anybody with the Coach K does it the right way argument is the dumbest fucking narrative in sports, going, he won that national championship last year, doing the same thing Calipari does with the one and dones. He's the same. It's the same thing at this point, which I don't have a problem with. I think that's fine. It's within the rules, but just don't pretend like he's Butler.
Duke SB Nation site actually wrote an entire blog criticizing me for criticizing Krzyzewski. Because I said
Nixon would love Coach K. They would love them.
Yeah, exactly. He's got because I said he has the biggest pass in maybe all of sports, definitely college sports. Like, you just look at all this stuff. Like, Chris Duhon's mom worked for a booster. That never gets talked about. Lance Thomas had this whole jewelry thing, and the guy just didn't speak to NCAA. They were worried about getting a title vacated. That never gets talked about.
How about, like, him using the Olympic team, like, as a recruiting tool?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's, like, I don't...
Again, I don't have problems with any of this. I just don't get why he gets this free pass.
Well, because, yeah, like I say, and it's... For me, I always try... it's hard not to compare Calipari to Krzyzewski because they're 1-2 right now when you think of, like, you know, the biggest coaches in college basketball.
Right.
But, like, imagine... Like, when Calipari was the head coach of the Dominican with Karl Anthony Towns, everyone was just like, well, that's unfair. And I'm like, look at Krzyzewski. He's hanging on to Team USA for that recruiting advantage. Do I blame him? No. It's an incredibly smart move.
Yeah, he should do that. Like, again, I don't have a problem with it. I just really resent – and I don't have a problem with Duke. I shouldn't say I have a problem with Krzyzewski. I have a problem with Duke fans most of all.
Right.
But I will say that, like, just the fact that narrative, he gets a free pass. Like, everyone says Nick Saban is a scumbag. What has Nick Saban done that Krzyzewski hasn't done at some point in his career? You know what I mean? Like, I know it's different sports, but it's that kind of thing where it's almost like,
you know what?
Yeah, I think you're right. He has this free pass. Oh, but back to the Wisconsin. Oh, sorry.
You know what my least favorite thing is about Krzyzewski, real quick?
What?
How he doesn't do in-game interviews, and he's the only coach in the nation that makes his assistants do them, like on ESPN.
Yeah.
That pisses me off more than anything else, and it really should.
But he still gets this media blowjob, which is the weird thing. That's why it's strange. I love how every college basketball conversation eventually circles back to hating Duke, by the way. Which is just why college basketball is the best.
Because
the rivalries and every, like, that's what makes it what it is.
So, yeah, okay. So there's your one Wisconsin game.
So there's my one Wisconsin game. Number two, I think, in terms of as a Barstool blogger, so I went, as people know or don't know, but if you follow me on Twitter – or you listen to, like, Yuppie Junk or Mail Time, you know I was abroad the past term. So I couldn't afford to go on spring break with my friends last winter. I was saving money because I was in London, which is expensive. So I flew home, and I was home for spring break. And I was kind of depressed and bored because my friends are having fun in spring break, and I have to, like, watch them do it while I can't go because I'm just having to save money. So the Final Four, that's during the Elite Eight. And Kevin throws a watch party at East End, the bar. So I watch that game. I go with my brothers, and it's me, Barstool Eddie from Chicago, Spags, JJ, Kevin. And I get obnoxiously drunk. Sam Decker hits the three, and he sinks it, and he wins. And I turn around to the Clancy brothers. It was the most obnoxious thing I've done in my life. I turn around to the Clancy brothers, and I go, 2 years, two Final Fours. I got two Super Bowls. I have I'm a Yankees fan who's seen a World Series, and the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup this year, which I was wrong. I was like, I have the best life ever. And I just said,
you're an asshole.
Oh, just to be an asshole. And Kevin looked at me, and he said, if I didn't like you, like, if I had just met you, he was like, I would have gone down to the bouncer and told them that you swung at me just so they would kick your ass and kick you out of this fucking bar. He was like, they got, like, Jack, of course, loved it and was like cracking up the entire time. Spags was cracking up the entire time. But Kevin, both the Clancy brothers just looked at me and they were like, fuck you. So that was a good memory. But then in terms of watching the cool one, I think the best Wisconsin game I've seen in terms of just quality of game, not in counting, I won't talk about the Kentucky game out of courtesy to you. So
I can talk about it. It sucks, but I can talk about it.
You're a better man than I, because I find it difficult. I know we will, but I find it hard to talk about Wisconsin Duke national championship. But Michigan State, did you watch a Big Ten? Of course you did. Big Ten championship last year, Michigan State, yes. Wisconsin, yes. In overtime. Watching that with my friends, going crazy at every single shot. It just when was one of those really special Michigan moments State. In time I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that, I remember that was the game that everyone said, you know, when the brackets came out, old Michigan State is a 7, look out for them.
Yeah, so. Which was very well deserved. I mean, Izzo's incredible. But that was a game I just remember in terms of just watching and experiencing with my friends where you kind of almost have to look at, like, your college life and be like, fuck, man, I got to savor this now because this doesn't last forever. And, like, this is as good as it gets.
Yeah,
you know?
It really is. And looking back on my college life, I couldn't be more pissed off. You know, I made the decision to go to Kentucky. Here's this great basketball program. Well, I was there for the last 2 years of Tubby Smith and the 2 years of Billy Gillespie. Bob Calipari got hired my senior year.
Bobby.
Yep.
You were there for Gillespie?
I was there for Gillespie.
So you were there. Well, that kind of proves your credentials as a hardcore fan, though, even as a student, because a lot of students don't actually give a shit, because, like, If you suffer through Gillespie, then
I've shared a drink with Billy Gillespie.
You shared a drink with Billy? Did you just sit there like kind of drunk and just be like a marriage counselor, like the wife pointing at the husband being like, I hate you.
So
like,
it was after a football game that I had to cover one game, and I went out with some of the other younger journalists that were, you know, recently, they were probably about, you know, 24 to 30 or something like that. We went out to one of the bars on the one end of campus by the football stadium, and it's more of a low key bar, like alumni type bar. And we're sitting out back, and all of a sudden, like, we see Gillespie walk by, and he knows, kind of, you know, obviously knows the media. So, hey guys, how you guys doing? And he's just sitting there with a couple women, and sure as shit, you know, he just kind of comes up to us and sits down for a second, and he's just like, dude, like. Can like you we just don't, please like, go you, recruit somebody like, worth a damn.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you – so John Wall must have been then the year after you graduated.
Yeah. So, yeah, my first year out of college was the John Wall, Eric Bledsoe, DeMarcus Cousins year. I hate Simon because he's got to experience John Calipari. I hate every – kid at Kentucky that doesn't know how good they have it.
Right.
When I had to live through 8 seeds, 9 seeds, and an NIT berth.
I realize how good I have it with Wisconsin. But it's almost a double-edged sword for me because part of what made the Duke loss the worst loss of my life and will be the worst loss of my life as a sports fan for the rest of my life is as El Prez so eloquently put it in his press conference with Dave, with Dan looking like he wanted to die, that'll just never happen again. Like, nope. I actually find it very hard, and I do my best because I like to consider myself a real fan, but I really find it a challenge to care as much as I have in years past about Wisconsin basketball. Because I'm very aware of the fact. It's almost like I listened to this podcast with Daniel Radcliffe one time. Sounds like a weird analogy. Trust me, it isn't. Where he talked about how weird it is in his career because he knows that the role that's going to be in his eulogy of Harry Potter, he's already had it, and he had it at such a young age, and now it's over. So it's like, what do you do after that when you do the best thing you'll ever do? And it's kind of like that with me where it's like, well, that's the best it'll ever be. And we didn't win it, and we didn't come away with anything. So,
well, it's funny you mentioned
that. And I'll never be as passionate because I'll graduate since, like, so where do I go from here? You know what I mean?
It's funny you mentioned that because I had trouble finding last year with Kentucky being undefeated and how good they were, you know, I wasn't in college, so, you know, it's a little different as an alum because you're not there. You know, I go down to a couple games a year and everything, but, you know, you're not there. You're not taking classes with the guys. You're not seeing them at the bars. You're not anything like that.
If you're at Kentucky, no one's taking classes with the guys.
Hey, I had a couple with them.
Okay. Sorry.
There were some awesome classes.
See, that's the difference between Gillespie and Calipari. He actually made them go to class. That's why now you see why you were getting 8 and 9 seats.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but, you know, so it's different. You know, I'm sitting there going, you know, you mentioned, okay, it'll never be this good again. That's true. I will never see an undefeated Kentucky team again, and that sucks because that was a blast.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me. No, I mean, it's unlikely, but I would actually say, this might sound crazy, I would say it's more likely that Kentucky gets another monster recruiting class and has a shot at 40-0.
Well, they have one next year.
Wisconsin wins a national championship.
They're actually saying the recruiting class coming in next year for Kentucky is the best recruiting class Calipari's ever had.
Yeah, like, I feel like Calipari's best recruiting class he's ever had every, like, 3 years.
Yeah, well, they're saying this one is...
Well, this one's supposed to be really deep, right? It's like seven guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're on, like, and they have to keep two of the big guys that are from Australia and New Zealand have to stay in school next year as well because of their 17 or whatever.
Right.
And then they're going to keep a couple guards. So it's just like, yeah, you're right. I might see an undefeated season next year, which I
talked to you. I'm glad I could.
You've talked me into an undefeated season.
I totally talked you into it.
Which I will just be the most obnoxious person in the world on social media and the blog if there's an undefeated Kentucky team.
As you would deserve to be.
Right. So, right. But it's interesting hearing stuff like that.
Because... you a couple of times during their games, and then after, just be like, fuck, and like go back and reread your timeline probably. Right. Because they'll just be dunking on all of us.
Right. And it's. But it's weird, man. Like I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can handle an undefeated season at 30. I mean, my heart was almost.
Well, it's every game super stressful because you. I mean, you probably had to. You know, I mean, a 40 game season. Kentucky normally has a 35 game season.
Right.
No, around a 40 game season. You probably really are paying attention to 25, 30 of them. But I guess with a 41 season, every single game is. History at stake.
Yeah, it's, like you would see.
That is stressful. I never gave that much consideration, actually.
Right. Like, obviously, like the big fans and the big college basketball fans in general would watch, you know, Kentucky, Columbia, Kentucky, you know, Western Kentucky or Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky. But last year, everyone tuned in to every game because it did get that way. And even in SEC play, you know, Kentucky, Alabama doesn't sound that. It sounds like football, Kentucky, Alabama. No one really is paying too much attention to it.
Right.
But last year, it's like. Oh shit, could this be the game? Next thing you know, you're on the edge of your seat when it's like 10-6 or something.
Yo,
like that.
That Kentucky Columbia game, it's funny you bring it up. I remember that game so vividly because I had $30 on Columbia to cover the point spread.
It was like a 10-point game.
Which I know for you, you hear $30 and you're like, you don't give a shit. But like, I'm a college student. To me, $30, that's a lot of money for
$30 is that's a lot of bar tabs in college.
Yeah, that's legitimately like a weekend.
Right.
So, like, I was – so, $30, and I just remember Columbia, like, being like, oh, my God, like, this is going to hit. This is totally going to hit. And then Kentucky made the comeback, and just my friends walking in and seeing me and my buddy Hunter, who had both bet Columbia, like, losing our minds about a 20-point blowout. And they're like, why do you guys – and they, like, didn't fully get – like, it didn't occur to them. Like, why do you guys – like, why are you guys going crazy about Columbia hitting free throws to, like, make it, like, down, like, 21 points? But – they covered, man. They did cover. So
let's talk. You know, you mentioned you've hit your peak as a Wisconsin basketball fan.
Yeah.
We've seen it this year. Obviously, they're struggling, and as many expected them to. I don't know if many expect them to. I didn't have them in my top 25 and caught a lot of heat for that in the preseason. But
I expected them to struggle, not to this.
Yeah, you didn't expect them to lose at home to, you know, Western Illinois or UW-Milwaukee, but –
I did not see that coming.
Right. But, I mean, it just goes to show you, I think, how good Kaminsky and Decker both are and were. Yep. But, obviously, you know, this year it's – and this was
Bo Ryan prior to his retirement, knowing he was going to retire.
Right.
Wasn't exactly – you know, he wasn't bringing his A game, so.
And this was asked by DrewHam5 on Twitter to us. Do you think Wisconsin makes the NCAA tournament this year?
Damn, that's a good question.
Obviously, there's a lot of season left.
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, like, it is a 64-team tournament. Like, that's a lot. It's just a lot of spot. I mean, you have to expect some level of improvement from the team throughout. Like, I think when they're in the full swing of conference play, like when it really heats up, I do think the team will rise to the occasion. I think Nigel Hayes is the kind of raw talent that'll only get better as he plays more minutes, just in my opinion. I think that Zach Showalter hasn't quite hit a ceiling of where he can as a player. So
I
maybe
think if Showalter gets better and Vito Brown gets better, you guys will be fine. It can't rely on Hayes.
Yeah. I think Vito Brown's a big key to it, obviously. Nicest guy in the world, by the way.
Is he? That's good.
Really good guy. But he was it's weird because it's almost like an anti-Wisconsin team because most of the time what you have the problem with in Wisconsin is you have these really polished guys who just can't run with who lose games they can't run with them. This team isn't lacking for athleticism.
No.
Like, team is, for by Wisconsin standards, an probably like the second most athletic team in recent history besides last year's team. So the team isn't lacking for athleticism, and that's why it's almost like a perfect storm of shittiness for us, because you have this team that has that isn't lacking for raw talent by our program standards, but the coaching, obviously, you know, you have an interim coach, you had Bo Ryan on his last legs in the preseason. So if any team could benefit from like a Bo Ryan at the peak of his powers to whip them up into shape and being a top 25 team, it was this year's. So it's kind of a cruel irony that the 1 year that Bo Lee is done and leaves is the year that we kind of need him the most. Not that, don't get it twisted, I begrudge Bo in any way. The anti-Bo people were just confusing to me. I don't get what their fucking problem is.
Anti-Bo meaning when he – anti-Bo just as the coach or anti-Bo for him leaving in the middle of the season?
For him leaving in the middle of the season.
I go back and forth on that. I understand why he did. He wanted – Greg Gard to become the interim head coach, give him a chance to get the job. I get that. I hate the move. Like you said, this team, I mean, they still could have made a run to the tournament, you know, just finish it out. I get he did a ton for the program, but it's not his job to pick the next basketball coach.
No, and I totally agree with you. It's just it's kind of one of those things where actually I'll be nicer to the anti-Bo Ryan people. It's the kind of thing where the closer you are to the program and the more you kind of understand the politics of the Wisconsin Athletic Department, like the more sense it makes.
Yeah, get all that.
It's as just, with most things, probably, but
as a player, I feel like I would be pretty pissed off.
Right. Apparently, the word I've heard. And again, I having not been there, if I was actually there this semester, I probably would be a little bit closer to the situation. But from what I've heard, they weren't that. I think everyone kind of saw the writing on the wall.
Sure, it's that's weird. So,
but now right. The question is, what's next?
Exactly, and that was asked to us here. We have a question here from D. Hookstead saying. Yeah. What are the odds Tony Bennett returns to Wisconsin? That's something I thought about and have talked about before. To me, it makes all the sense in the world. I know he's building a nice thing at Virginia, but I think he's hit his peak at Virginia. I don't think he can ever contend for a national title with what he has currently at Virginia. He reminds me a lot of Bo Ryan in the sense of the slower style of play, the efficient play, and right. Ryan's knock until the last 2 years was he couldn't get it done in March because his team played so slow, it allowed teams below him to stick around and then eventually upset him in the tournament, and that's what you see with Tony Bennett so far. I think it makes all the sense in the world for Bennett to go to Wisconsin with his dad coaching there, him going to Green Bay and just being from the area. What's your take? Does he come? Who do you want to see to be the next head coach?
You know, I was thinking of I have a couple thoughts on it. I don't believe Greg Gerard will come back as the next coach. Just knowing Barry Alvarez's way of operating,
I agree.
As the athletic director, Barry demands more power within the athletic department than just about, or as much as just about an AD possibly can, which makes sense. I mean, he is, it doesn't, where Wisconsin doesn't get a lot of, as much attention. Like, he is our Joe Paterno like figure, or at least what we thought Joe Paterno was until all that stuff came out, of like the guy who built Wisconsin athletics into what it is. Like, he made Wisconsin football the powerhouse it is, and then that money turned Wisconsin football money turned into money that went to other programs, to building us to being a top 10, possibly a top 5 athletic department in the country. So he kind of demands a lot, and I think that Bo Ryan kind of trying to put him in a corner like this is something that he'll resent. And
yeah,
something
he's just going to be pissed off.
Yeah, he's going to be – I don't think he'll be totally happy about it, and I think he'll want to make his hire. I mean, if Greg Gerard does, you know, all the – you know, the greatest job in the world, and we win the Big Ten tournament, and then we make a run, like, obviously he'll be hired. But so I find that very unlikely. So I do think it'll be someone from the outside. I could be wrong. That's not based on any actual knowledge. That's just based on my feelings of Barry Alvarez as a person. But so then what I kind of thought, so I brought it up with my brother the other day, Tony Bennett, and he was like, dude, there's no way anybody leaves Virginia for Wisconsin. I was like, well, Wisconsin to me is now a better job and a better program than Virginia. And he made the argument Bo Ryan's Wisconsin might have been a better program, but Wisconsin, with the lack of basketball talent in the state, it's not terrible, but the relative lack of basketball talent in the state as opposed to what you'd have in a Virginia, that you can just do more in the ACC recruiting grounds than you could at Wisconsin. So that is really
your brother's dumb as shit, and I'm putting that politely. Chicago's what, 2 hours from Madison?
We don't mind Chicago.
What do you
like,
mind?
It's like the great untapped market.
That's what I'm saying. If you have a coach that can go in there and recruit, which is why I think two names to look out for coaching. One I think that they should really look at is Bryce Drew from Valparaiso. He can recruit Chicago.
Oh, that would be great, yeah.
And then it's hard to get much better talent than guys from Chicago. I mean, unless you're in the New York, North Jersey
area. Untapped market. So then what he was hoping – so he has a theory. He's like, you're being a Wisconsin homer, which I mean, questioning. But I don't think it's a homer thing at all to think that – I mean, Wisconsin can pay more than Virginia can. It's a bigger athletic budget probably. So I don't think – I think Tony Bennett would be the perfect fit. However, this is my outer left field conspiracy pick that'll probably never happen, but it's fun to think about. I put this out on Twitter. Speaking of Chicago – if the Bulls season is a disaster and Hoiberg gets fired, he did an awesome job at Iowa State. I don't know if his transfer recruiting policy would work well in Wisconsin, but the guy can fucking coach basketball.
He can. I can't picture him at Wisconsin.
Me neither, but wouldn't that be – I don't know. I just think that would be awesome. I realize that won't happen, but that would – he's proven he can do more with less. Because, I mean, he had Iowa State going even before he had all the transfers coming, and he had them winning games and kind of turned them into a team that was, you know, sneaking into the top 5 every so often and in the top 10 pretty often. So I would think Hoiberg would be good. I mean, I think what it'll come down to will be a guy from, like, a Valparaiso. Like, obviously we won't have the resources to get, like, one of the big, big names from the mid-major. I know it's a little bit of an oxymoron, but I think it'll be someone from, like, a mid-major program in the Midwest.
Yeah, I would say you look at Drew or look at Archie Miller at Dayton.
By the way, of all of them, Archie Miller at Dayton would be my number one.
Yeah, Archie Miller is an A-plus hire. Bryce Drew is, like, an A-minus hire. So that's a win-win either way.
Archie Miller come to Wisconsin, though? Do you think he could, like, wait out and... Because, like, he's a good enough hire where, like, when Coach K retires, he'll be a candidate for Duke.
Well, no, because Duke has too many guys from the Coach K tree.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So a guy like, you know, I think Wojo or Chris Collins will end up with that job.
Yeah, good point. But, like, he could coach, like, UCLA.
Yes, that's where I'm getting – and I live only about 45 minutes from Dayton's campus, so I'm around Dayton people a lot.
Oh,
and talking a lot. Yeah, Dayton and Cincinnati are right by each other.
Okay.
So talking a lot about he's from Pittsburgh and he went to NC State. So it's like, okay, what job is he really waiting out for? Because I thought Florida should have hired him this past year, but he just didn't really have interest. So is he waiting for like Jamie Dixon to leave Pittsburgh to take that over? Is he waiting to go to NC State when Godfrey leaves? Neither really seem to be talked about, you know, on the hot seat or anything like that. So maybe he's just, I mean, like you said, Wisconsin is a top job in the country. I would take Wisconsin over Pittsburgh or NC State. That's for sure.
Me too. 100%. I mean, I would, it's hard with college basketball coaches because I would think college basketball is this weird ability where people see coaches make moves that seem to make no sense more often than any other sport. Like, it seems like college football, every time a coach leaves, it goes somewhere, it's like a pretty clear move up. But then you have, like, you know, a coach leave Marquette for Virginia Tech, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like I still don't understand. Good that, because I hate Marquette, so, like, I'm really glad that happened. But it was, like, it's the kind of thing where it's just really hard to understand what these guys' motives are or aren't. And since it is college basketball is such a sport that is so political in nature, I feel like these guys keep their cards really close to the chest. So it's sometimes hard to tell. But Archie Miller would be absolutely fantastic. I would like somebody, and I know this sounds stupid, people accuse me of being a Big Ten homer. I think it's legitimately a plus to have somebody from the Midwest who's either coached in the Midwest or is from the Midwest and understands that recruiting grounds and understands the dynamic of the Big Ten and what it takes to win in the Big Ten. Because winning the Big Ten does take a certain – and again, I know I sound like a PFD commenter article right now, but it does sound like it takes a certain level of grit and toughness that I think just doesn't exist in a lot of other conferences.
Yeah, you need – well, you need something that can recruit Chicago. That's what's going to win the Big Ten, especially with the way Turgeon's recruiting at Maryland. And then you have just Beilein and Izzo, who are two of the best coaches in the game in general. You need a guy that can go to Wisconsin, recruit there, you know, the greater Chicago area, getting to Gary and Fort Wayne, Indiana, and get those guys up.
Wait, can I ask you a question kind of out of left field? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I saw Dan retweeted when this went down. Dan Big Cat, Dan Dakish. I always fuck up that guy's last
name. Dakish. Dan Dakish. Yeah.
I know who he is. I see him all the time, but I feel like everyone pronounces it differently. Which was that he said, Bo Ryan. If you look at it, the best coach in Big Ten history is Bobby Knight. I mean, there's no real debating that. The current best coach in the Big Ten is Tom Izzo, but if you look at the most impressive job done at a Big Ten school in terms of elevating a school, no one's done better than Bo Ryan. Would you agree with that?
Man, that's tough.
I know it's a tough question to kind of throw.
Yeah,
I feel like if people have made it,
if you're talking recent memory, yes,
right.
But I mean,
I just feel like it's historically underrated. That's the point I'm making.
Ryan. Like, I mean, but did he really elevate it? I mean, Wisconsin wasn't like it was a bad program.
It wasn't making the NCAA tournament every year.
Right, but I mean, it made the Final Four in, what, 99?
Did it? I didn't.
98, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, for me, like, I'm a little biased because I love him, but John Beilein, he turned Michigan into a program. That, I mean, they were doing nothing before he got there.
That's true.
Now, they're a little more inconsistent, so that's...
But they do have the history.
Right.
And the resources.
Yes. Yeah. Man, that's a tough question.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. You don't
actually. You know what? I'll tell you who may have. It's Thad Mata at Ohio State.
Yeah, he's under. It's where, I mean, not to be like an East Coast media bias type like take angle here, but there's so much fantastic coaching in the Big Ten that I feel doesn't fully.
Well, he's a terrible in-game coach. Like Thad Mata is an awful in-game coach.
Right,
but he's turned Ohio State into a program of relevancy in the Big Ten and at a national level. I might give him the edge in terms of elevating a program because I think he did it with less in terms of talent at Ohio State to start off. But Ryan's obviously a better in-game coach than than a
model
will ever be.
Ted has a storied history of great coaches who are terrible in-game coaches, with, of course, the biggest example of that being none other than college basketball Twitter's least favorite person in the world.
Oh, Tom Crean. He might be the worst coach in America.
He is – I know he's horrible, and he is – this is going to be a hot take. Are you ready for a hot take?
I love hot takes.
This is – he's a horrible in-game coach. He's probably the worst at – he's probably the worst in a major conference. But the guy did take Indiana from being absolutely irrelevant to at least bringing some respectability back to the program. Like, obviously he should be fired.
Yeah, he had a cool 2 years. So he did what he should have for the first, 4 years, and then he just did nothing. They should not be as bad as they are.
If Tom Crean got hit by a bus after his third year at Indiana, they'd be, building statues of him. He'd be absolutely beloved there.
Yeah, if they – the year they made the Sweet 16 as a four seed and lost to Kentucky when Kentucky won it all, they would build a statue, if he
– what he should have done? He should have, went to an NBA team after that, failed miserably, and then came back to a mid-major in college, and people would be like, oh, Tom Crean, he was great.
Probably.
He just should have stayed – if he stayed at Indiana, boy, he would have won titles there.
As a Kentucky fan, I want – Indiana keep Tom Crean as long as possible.
Oh, yeah, of course you do. Well, I feel bad for Indiana fans because Indiana's their destiny was stolen by the Boston Celtics when Brad Stevens left. Brad Stevens was born to become the best Indiana coach of all time and pass Bob Knight and win multiple titles there. And then Danny Ainge just came in and fucked that up for them.
Came out of nowhere.
That came out of nowhere. Oh, and he's probably the second best coach in the NBA behind Popovich right now.
But Luke Walton says what's up.
Luke Walton is getting instructions from Tom Kerr on a walkie-talkie, I'm pretty convinced. But
he might be.
In terms of Brad Stevens, I mean they got that rug pulled out from under that. I know Trill Ballins on Twitter, who's a funny guy, he's always tweeting about that. But I have a bunch of friends who go to Indiana. And they say that they actually still watch Celtics games. They're like, fuck, dude, he looks like an Indiana coach. So I don't know. Do you think he gets fired this year for Crean, or do you think they're going to just keep him indefinitely?
Who, Indiana?
Yeah.
I think, depending how the rest of the season goes the way it is right now, they fire him and
I agree.
And evaluate. So. But, all right, well, you got your Big Ten talk in. We gave you about an hour of product here. Charlie, Wisconsin's playing right now, so I will let you get going to watching that since they are actually beating Indiana, ironically enough.
I have the game on TV.
As we talk about how bad Tom Crean is, they just turn the ball over.
Right.
So we'll let you go. Thanks for stopping on. Again, follow Charlie at Charlie Wisco. You can read his stuff at Barcelona, New York. He just did a hell of a job. If you haven't read it yet, go check out the best of 2015, which was six installments, five installments,
seven installments. Graciously. So I thank you for that.
So Charlie, thanks for coming on. Any final words?
Yeah, my final words are that I read your blogs on Barstool U, and I think you do a fantastic job with them. And to keep up the great work and the great coverage, I know that I speak for a lot of the readership when I say I really appreciate it and think it's great stuff.
I'm printing that out and putting it on my fridge.
You should take that SoundCloud soundbite and put it on your resume.
It's
put
my ringtone, like Troy Aikman, that one commercial where he says he doesn't like to remember his old times. That's going to be my ringtone.
If you ever write a book, I can write the foreword for it.
There it is. You'll be my forward.
Cover forward.
So, all right, thanks for coming on, guys. Follow the show at Storm the Court PC. We'll be back. We're going to be pumping out some more episodes this month. Charlie, thanks again for coming on. Enjoy the rest of the game. Go Wisconsin, I guess.